Hello, beloveds. This month's devotional about Psalms is adapted from a confirmation class that I teach during the Old Testament year. And it uses parts of the Here We Stand curriculum from Augsburg Fortress Publishing House. In Hebrew, the book of Psalms is called Tehillim, meaning praises. There are 150 of them, and they include poems written to God, some as if written from God, and some written about God. It's assumed that these hymns were meant to be sung as part of community worship or individual devotions. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to sing during this episode unless, I don't know, you really want to. Then, you know, go ahead and belt it out. The Psalms are often overlooked for like more meatier passages in Scripture, but they can be a really great gift to God's people. Why? Because they address the realization that we are not promised an easy or comfortable life as God's people. And they dole out some really honest emotions. The whole collection fluctuates between joy and sorrow, praise and lament, celebration, and even hatred. Whatever sentiment we feel in our most intimate thoughts likely already appear in the Psalms. For instance, have you ever secretly wished harm upon your enemies? You don't have to actually say it to anyone you're listening with, and you don't have to tell me later. But know that you're not alone if you have. The end of Psalm 137 says, "Happy shall they be who take your little ones and dash them against the rock." No joke, it really says that. It was uncomfortable for me to even read it to you. But please don't read that as God condoning violence against children or anyone. They're not meant to be taken literally as scripts from God, and they're not meant to be assumed that God will answer all of our anger-infused demands. They're meant to be a safe space to vent it all out to a God who loves us and understands that sometimes we have big feels when the world is awful or life is hard. The beauty and importance of the Psalms is that they give us permission to be real with God about everything we experience and feel. These songs are a great way for the faithful when overwhelmed by illness, isolation, suffering, or danger, to find words to call upon God for comfort and help. We see this in the many psalms of lament. The lament psalm is the most common type. Lament psalms follow a pattern. So first a cry to the Lord for help, then an explanation of the psalmist's dire situation, then a list of reasons why the Lord should get involved and help. I love that part. And then praise for the Lord because the psalmist is sure the prayer has been heard. On Good Friday, we famously hear Jesus on the cross crying out to God with the words of the Lament Psalm 22, saying, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" What a comfort to us to know that Jesus, too, felt the burdens of humanity and didn't mind screaming to God about it. What a gift to know that God can handle our rawest emotions and still love us. We find in the Psalms that there's even a place for anger, questioning, hurting, and sometimes estrangement in our faith. It seems that no emotion is off the table in these prayers. Some of the psalmists rail at God for not bringing justice to everyone on earth when so many are suffering oppression. In Psalm 77, for instance, the writer speaks of sleepless nights and anguished thoughts while questioning whether God's love has stopped. Has God grown angry or forgotten God's people? God has always shown preference for the poor and oppressed. God has always lifted the lowly and the suffering. The universal cry for justice is that the wicked will not prosper and enemies will be dealt with justly. The psalmist is confused and frustrated, waiting for this justice to be administered, and yet also trusts in God's promises of mercy and faithfulness. And the restoration of joy someday, somehow. We are still waiting for God's justice to reign completely on this earth. We still look to heaven and cry for help when we see suffering around us. This psalm feels relevant thousands of years later. How often is that true about writing? As I said before, many of the lament psalms find a shift in tone at some point in the song. While some psalms, like Psalm 117, stand alone as praise psalms, many other psalms of lament or mourning end with praise, with a deep trust in God's love and kindness to somehow get them through their hard time. Psalm 13 is one such psalm that cries out to God and then ends with, "But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." The psalmist uses praise to help their community and perhaps themselves to recall God's saving acts in the past in order to help remember that God is still with them in their current context. Maybe this goes to show that prayers aren't always about changing God. Sometimes we find we are changed simply by entering the conversation. One more category of psalms I want to share are creation psalms. These are what the Here We Stand curriculum calls an antidote to an industrialized modern sense of disconnect between humans and the rest of creation. In these psalms about creation, we are thrown back into the middle of the wilderness where violent storms, severe landscapes, and dangerous animals are also beloved and carefully crafted by God. Society emphasizes human actions. The pressure always seems to be on us to find the answers or find Jesus or find God. But the creation psalms remind us that it is God who finds us again and again. Whether we love them or not, God made all parts of creation and is connected back to us through it in a complex, interconnected, and interdependent ecosystem. God finds us and gets our attention through the wonder and majesty of the natural world, in the miracles of animal and plant life, in the dignity of all creation, and in places we might not expect. In these psalms, we are reminded, too, of our role in creation. Psalm 8 says, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them. And yet, you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet." Now, I want to be really clear that in Scripture, dominion is actually translated as stewardship. So it's not a lording over. It implies a responsibility of care. The psalm teaches us that humans have been given special gifts for caring for the world and a responsibility to protect and preserve creation, which means all living things get included in that broad category of neighbor. You know, neighbor, those we are called to serve and love as we serve and love God. That's all creation. The messages of these created psalms, and really of all the psalms, is that we're part of something big and beautiful. We're not alone in the world. The psalmists show us that the path to trusting in God is not always easy or without complaint, but through all of our struggles, they continue to believe that God will never leave us. If you are feeling lost, alone, angry, scared, jealous, sad, or happy, guarantee you there's a psalm to match your tone. Find one and sing it out or shout it out to the God who loves you. Some questions for reflection. Number one, what were you taught about sharing your harder, bigger feelings with God? Number two, what does it mean to you that generations ago, faithful people laid it all on the table while talking to God? Number three, what are some of your favorite psalms and why? Number four, if you were to write down your own psalm to God today, what would it include? As we close today, we will pray one of the many psalms, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen.